On the bridge of the Enterprise, Lieutenant Carolyn Palamas hands Captain Kirk a data reader.
Here's the report on Pollux 5, Captain. This entire system has been almost the same. A strange lack of intelligent life on the planets. It bucks the percentages.
Bucks them. Well, let's carry out the standard procedures on Pollux 4.
Aye, sir.
Lieutenant, you look a bit tired this morning.
Well, I was up all night working on this report, sir.
Well, in that case, there's nothing like a wee bit of coffee to get you back in shape. Join me, Carolyn?
All right, Scotty. Just let me give this to Mr. Spock.
Boss, could you get that excited over a cup of coffee?
Well, even from here, I can tell his pulse rate's up.
Gentlemen, come along, my dear.
Scotty leads her to the lift.
I'm not sure I like that, Jim.
Kirk turns to McCoy.
Why, Bob? Scotty's a good man.
And he thinks he's the right man for her, but I'm not sure she thinks he's the right man. On the other hand, she's a woman. All woman.
Hmm.
One day she'll find the right man, off she'll go, out of the service.
Mm-hmm. I like to think of it not so much as losing an officer as gaining...
Come along.
Actually, I'm losing an officer.
Entering standard orbit around Pollux 4, sir.
Cartographic details, stand by.
Standing by, sir.
Preliminary reports, Mr. Spark.
Pollux 4, Class M type planet, oxygen-nitrogen atmosphere. Sensors indicate no life forms. Approximate age, 4 billion years. Judged no reason for contact. In all respects, quite ordinary, Captain.
Cartographic sections, implement standard orders.
All cartographic scanners, full automatic.
Captain?
Everyone looks at the screen.
What in the name of...
Ahead is an indistinct green haze.
Analysis, Mr. Spock.
Momentarily.
Spock looks at his scanners.
Am I... seeing things?
Not unless I am, too. Captain, that thing's a giant hand.
The green haze has taken on the form of a giant hand that seems to be reaching out towards the Enterprise. Kirk gets to his feet.
What is it, Mr. Spark? Is it, a hand?
Negative, Captain. Not living tissue.
A trick, then. A projection?
Not a projection, sir. A field of energy.
Hard about. Hard about.
Despite turning the vessel, the hand stays in the forward view screen.
We can't seem to get away from it.
It's almost as if it means to grab us.
Reverse all engines.
All engines, reverse!
The hand closes in, and the bridge rocks. The crew are pitched to the floor or over their consoles.
We're dead still, Captain. Helm doesn't answer. We can't move.
Spock and Kirk stare at the view screen in apprehension and disbelief.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry, starring William Shatner. Also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock and DeForest Kelly as Dr. McCoy. Who Mourns for Adonais, written by Gilbert Ralston, directed by Mark Daniels.
Captain's log, stardate 3468.1. While approaching Pollux 4, a planet in the Beta Geminorum system, the Enterprise has been stopped in space by an unknown force of some kind. Lieutenant, relay our position and circumstances to Starbase 12 immediately. Mr. Sulu. Try rocking the ship. Full impulse power forward and back.
Aye, aye, sir.
Damage report coming in, Captain. Situation under control. Minor damage. Stations 37 and 19.
Sick bay reports 5. Minor injuries all being treated.
Thank you. Mr. Sulu? Applying thrust, sir.
The view ahead remains obscured by the semi-translucent hand covering the view screen.
No results, Captain. We're stuck tight. Mr. Spock? Status?
The ship is almost completely encircled by the field. It resembles a conventional force field, but on unusual wavelengths. Despite its appearance, that of a human appendage, it is definitely not living tissue. It is energy.
Thank you. Mr. Sulu, our forward tractor beams adjust to repel.
Aye, aye, sir.
Standing by. Activate.
Spock peers into the viewer of his scanners. Kirk grips the back of Sulu's chair as the bridge judders.
Ineffective, Captain. There doesn't seem to be anything to push against.
Captain, a most curious development on scanner 5-7.
That's all. Take a look at it, Mr. Spock.
Screen on, Captain.
The obscuring hand has vanished, and the handsome head of a dark-haired man wearing a crown of golden laurels forms just ahead of the ship. Spock raises a quizzical eyebrow.
Activity on hailing channel 3, sir.
Put it on audio, Lieutenant.
The eons have passed, and what has been written has come about. You are most welcome, my beloved children. Your places await you.
Response frequency, Lieutenant.
Calculated. Channel open, sir.
You have left your plains and valleys and made this bold venture. So it was in the beginning. You have made me proud. Now you can rest.
This is Captain James T. Kirk commanding the USS Enterprise. Please identify yourself.
We shall remember together. We shall drink the sacramental wine. There shall be the music of the pipes. The long wait has ended.
Are you responsible for stopping the ship?
Yes. I caused the wind to withdraw from your sails.
Give it back, then we'll talk.
It has been 5,000 years. Have you learned no patience in that time?
I don't know who or what you are. But I must warn you, we have the power to defend ourselves. If you value your safety, release this ship.
You have the same fire. How like your fathers you are. Agamemnon, Hector, Odysseus.
Never mind the history lesson. Release the ship.
You will obey me, lest I close my hand. Thus.
The hand grips the ship.
External pressure building up, Captain. 800 GSC and climbing.
Compensated.
Scotty watches his console anxiously.
1,000 GSC and climbing.
McCoy and Lieutenant Uhura put their hands to their heads as the pressure increases.
Becoming critical, Captain. We can't handle it.
All right, whatever you're doing, turn it off. You win.
Pressure's gone, Captain. Space normal on hull.
They look up at the figure in the view screen.
That was your first lesson. Remember it. Captain Kirk, I invite you and your officers to join me. But do not bring that one. The one with the pointed ears.
Everyone looks at Spock.
He is much like Pan, and Pan always bored me. No sad faces. This is a time to rejoice, not to fear. You are returning home. Let your hearts prepare to sing.
The head fades from sight.
Let's go, Bones. You in good voice?
Sure it's wise, Jim.
If we don't accept his invitation, we'll have a crushed eggshell where the ship used to be.
Kirk turns to Spock.
Verbose, isn't he?
Insulted, Spock?
Insults are effective only where emotion is present.
We'll tackle them together. We already know the questions. You're the best man to find the answers.
Kirk leaves the bridge with McCoy. A short while later, they beam down to the planet's surface with Scotty, Chekhov, and the blonde lieutenant, Carolyn Palamas.
Tricorders.
What am I doing down here, Doctor?
Well, you're the A&A officer, aren't you? Archaeology, anthropology, ancient civilizations.
Correct.
Well, we're going to need help in all those areas.
Come on.
They step out from the edge of a grove of trees and approach a Greek temple of white stone, where a figure crowned with laurel sits on a marble throne in a short gold tunic and sandals. Chekhov and McCoy surreptitiously take readings on their scanners.
My children, long have I waited for this moment. The memories you bring of your lush and beautiful earth, the green fields and blue skies, the simple shepherds and their flocks.
You know of Earth? You've been there?
Once I stretched out my hand, and Earth trembled. And I breathed upon it, and spring returned.
You mentioned Agamemnon, Hector, Odysseus. How do you know about them?
Search your most distant memories. Those of the thousands of years past. And I am there. Your fathers knew me, and your father's fathers.
He stands.
I am Apollo.
And I am the Tsar of all the Russias.
Mr. Chekhov.
I'm sorry, Captain. I never met a god before.
And you haven't yet. Readings, Doctor.
Simple humanoid, Captain.
Evidently not so simple.
Earth.
He looks at Carolyn.
Mother of the most beautiful of women in the universe. That at least has not changed. I am pleased. Yes, my children. Zeus, Athena, Aphrodite, Artemis, a gallant band of travelers. We knew your Earth well 5,000 of your years ago.
All right. We're here at your invitation. Would you mind telling us what you want without all the Olympian generalities?
You will not leave this place.
Transporter room.
Your transportation device no longer functions.
Kirk adjusts his communicator.
Enterprise, come in.
I will not permit that device to work either, Captain.
Kirk snaps the communicator shut.
What is it you want?
You will worship me, as your fathers did before you.
If you want to play God and call yourself Apollo, that's your business. But you're no God to us, mister.
I said you would worship me.
And you've got a lot to learn.
And so have you. Let the lesson begin.
The landing crew gaze in amazement as Apollo grows in stature.
Welcome to Olympus, Captain Kirk.
He stands before them, more than twice their height. On board the Enterprise,
Mr. Spock, I can't contact the landing party. All frequencies are jammed.
Try to break through it, Lieutenant.
Aye, sir.
Transporter and communications?
Very efficient. Mr. Sulu, rig all transmission circuits for maximum power generation. Compute for reversal of polarity of the field around the ship.
Working, sir.
Lieutenant Kyle, I want a complete sensor scan of the planet.
Aye, sir.
Locate all life forms. I want to know what's going on down there.
On the planet's surface, as Kirk, McCoy, Scotty, Chekhov, and Lieutenant Palamas gaze up at the enormous figure, he suddenly fades from sight.
To coin a phrase, fascinating.
Kirk runs up the steps of the temple. A golden lyre leans against the throne.
Analysis. Lieutenant Palamas, what do you know about Apollo?
Apollo, a twin brother of Artemis, son of the god Zeus and Leto, a mortal. He was the god of light and purity. He was skilled in the bow and the lyre.
And this thing?
Well, obviously, he has some knowledge of Earth. His classical references and the appearance of all this.
I think the appearance of all this is for our benefit. Bones?
Well, I can't say much till I check out these readings. He looks human, but of course that doesn't mean a thing.
Whatever he is, sir, he seems to control a remarkable technology.
Power is what he controls. You can't do tricks like that without energy.
Fine, but what power and where is it? Scout around with your tricorders. Find the source of that power. Bones.
Yes?
Bones, I wonder if 5,000 years ago...
You have a theory?
I have an idea. What if he is really Apollo?
What?
Captain?
Apollo is back on his throne. He raises both arms and beckons the landing party.
I want from you that which is rightfully mine. Your loyalty, your tribute, and your worship.
May I ask what you offer in exchange for this worship?
Life in paradise. As simple and as pleasurable as it was those thousands of years ago on that beautiful planet so far away.
Apollo, we're willing to talk, but you'll find we don't bow to every creature who happens to have a bag of tricks.
Agamemnon was one such as you, and Hercules. Pride and arrogance. They defied me until they felt my wrath.
I would like to point out that we are quite capable of some wrath ourselves.
I have 430 people on that ship up there.
No, you do not, Captain. They are mine. To save, to cherish, or to destroy at my will.
But why? What you've said so far makes no sense at all.
Apollo looks down at Carolyn with lustful eyes and stands up.
How like Aphrodite and Athena. The beauty, grace. And you seem wise for a woman. What is your name?
Lieutenant Palamas.
I mean your name.
Carolyn.
Carolyn. Yes. You are beautiful. You would do Aphrodite credit. I will tell you a thousand tales, stories of courage and love. You will know what it is to be a goddess.
Leave her alone.
You protest? You risk much.
And so do you.
Scotty draws his phaser. Kirk stoops down and picks up Scotty's weapon. It's been melted by the lightning bolt from Apollo's finger. Scotty rubs his hand.
Very impressive. How'd you do it?
I've grown weary of discussion and argument.
Captain, the phasers. All the working parts are fused.
None of your toys will function. Yes, you are a beauty. But like Artemis, the bow arm should be bare.
He waves his hand, and Carolyn appears in a pink classical pleated gown with train that leaves her shoulder and midriff bare.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yes.
He comes up to her.
Come.
She's not going with you.
Apollo knocks Scotty flying with a backhand blow.
You shall learn the discipline of the temple. So shall you all. Come.
It's all right, Captain. I'll go.
Without fear. She is fit indeed.
He leads the none too reluctant lieutenant away. They vanish into thin air.
Bones, how is he?
Stunned, but coming around. I'm not sure it's wise to let her go off like that.
He would have been rather difficult to stop.
You saw how capricious he is. Benevolent one minute, angry the next. One wrong move from her and he could kill her.
Mr. Chekhov, I think you better continue your investigation.
Aye, aye, sir.
How do you feel, Scotty?
I have tingling all over. Did he take her with him?
It would seem so.
Captain, we've got to stop him. He wants her the way he looked
at her. Mr. Scott! I understand your concern over her, but she volunteered to go with him. Hopefully to find out more about him. She's doing her job. I think it's about time you started doing yours. We've got to find out the source of his power. You've got a tricorder. Use it if you're able to.
I'm able, sir.
And one more thing. I want no more unauthorized action against Apollo or whatever he is. That's an order.
Aye, aye, sir.
Besides, you stiff-necked thistle head, you could have gotten yourself killed.
Scotty goes with a wry smile.
Scotty doesn't believe in gods.
Apollo's no god.
Kirk climbs the steps onto the temple pediment.
But he could have been taken for one, though. Once.
Say, 5,000 years ago, a highly sophisticated group of space travelers landed on Earth around the Mediterranean.
Yes. To the simple shepherds and tribesmen of early Greece, creatures like that would have been gods.
Especially if they had the power to alter their form at will and command great energy. In fact, they couldn't have been taken for anything else.
On board the Enterprise.
Ready to reverse polarity, Mr. Sulu?
The butadin standing by to generate, sir.
Activate all units.
The bridge judders.
No good, Mr. Spock. We didn't even phase it. We're still locked tight.
Cut power, Mr. Sulu.
Spock goes up to Uhura, who's working at her console.
Lieutenant, we must restore communications with the landing party.
Well, I'm working, sir, but I can't do anything with this.
Oh?
Well, I might be able to rig up a subspace bypass circuit.
Good, do so. Sensor report, Mr. Kyle.
Well, I've located the landing party, sir, but one of them seems separated from the other four.
And Apollo?
Well, I've just picked up readings for our own people, sir.
Mr. Spock, here's something. There seems to be a radiated energy pulsation coming from the planet. I don't know what it is, sir.
Origin?
I can't seem to pinpoint it, sir.
I would suggest, Mr. Sulu, that if you cannot find out where the power source is, you should find out where it is not. A simple process of elimination.
The whole planet, sir? Yes, sir. The whole planet.
On the planet's surface, Apollo stands with Carolyn in a flower-strewn glade looking out over an ornamental lake.
Oh, it's lovely.
I've known other women. Daphne, Cassandra. None more beautiful than you.
He moves closer.
Are you frightened of me?
Frightened? No, I don't think so. Of course, a girl doesn't go walking with a...
A god?
All right. A god. Every day. What happened to the others? Artemis, Hera.
They returned to the cosmos. The wings of the wind.
You mean they died?
No. Not as you understand it. We're immortal, we gods. But the Earth changed. Your fathers changed. They turned away until we were only memories. God cannot survive as a memory. We need love, admiration, worship. As you need food.
You really think you're a god?
In a real sense, we were gods. We had the power of life and death. We could have struck out from Olympus and destroyed. We have no wish to destroy. So we came home again. It was an empty place without worshippers. But we had no strength to leave. So we waited, all of us, through the long years.
But you said the others didn't die.
Even for a god, there's a point of no return. Hera was first. She stood in front of the temple and spread herself upon the wind. Thinner and thinner. Until only the wind remained. But I knew you would come. You striving, bickering, foolishly brave humans. I knew you would come to the stars one day. Of all the gods I knew, and I waited. Waited for you to come and sit by my side.
I don't understand.
Even 5,000 years ago, the gods took mortals to them to love, to care for. Like Zeus took Leto, my mother. We were gods of passion. Of love.
He kisses her.
There is a repeated occurrence of registrations. A regular pulsating pattern of radiated energy.
Unquestionably, an immensely powerful field of energy is being generated around here somewhere. But we're just having difficulty focusing on it.
Apollo has no difficulty focusing. He taps that energy, Mr. Scott.
Sir, some creatures can generate and control energy with no harm to themselves. The electric eel on Earth, the giant riverm of Antos 4, the fluffy...
Not the whole encyclopedia, Chekhov.
The captain requires complete information.
Spock's contaminating this boy, Jim.
Are you suggesting that he, Apollo, taps a flow of energy and channels it through his body?
That would seem most likely, sir.
Mr. Chekhov, I think you've earned your pay for the week. But where is the source of that power?
Number one on our list of things to do.
Is that all you have to offer?
Yes, except my estimation for his physical condition. In spite of Apollo's bag of tricks, he comes up essentially normal with just a few variations. However, there's an extra organ in his chest that I can't even make a guess about.
Bones, is it possible?
Jim.
They look round. Apollo materializes through the trees and walks towards them alone. Everyone stands in alarm. Kirk steps towards him.
Where's Lieutenant Palamas?
She is no longer of any concern to you.
You bloodthirsty Saracen! What have you done?
Scotty! Scotty!
A flash of lightning comes from Apollo's fingertip and Scotty is thrown back across the marble pavement in front of the temple.
Not good. Severe shock.
Apollo starts to walk towards his throne. Kirk challenges him.
All right, mister. You wanted worshippers? You've got enemies. You want us to bow down? Your nonsense.
Apollo points his finger at Kirk. The captain puts his hand to his throat and collapses, choking. Apollo mounts the steps of his temple to his white marble throne, ignoring Kirk, who lies choking at the foot of the steps. McCoy hurries over to the captain.
You will learn discipline. You will learn...
He stops. His jaw sags. His head drops onto his chest, and he gradually fades from view.
Chekhov, give me a hand.
Kirk waves McCoy away.
Take care of Scotty.
Are you all right, Captain?
Where's Apollo?
He disappeared again, like the cat in that Russian story.
Don't you mean the English story, the Cheshire Cat?
Cheshire? No, sir. Minsk, perhaps,
all right,
but...
All right.
Sir, there is something I noticed. Apollo looked very strange when he disappeared. Tired or in pain. I don't know if it means anything.
There he goes, Mr. Chekhov. That might very well mean something.
He goes over to Scotty, who struggles to his feet, holding his right arm.
How do you feel?
I can't get my arm to move.
Some neural damage.
We've got to get out of here.
How?
Kirk sits at the marble table.
Well, let's assume that 5,000 years ago, creatures like our friend Apollo did indeed visit Earth and form the basis of the Greek classic myths.
Makes sense.
Most mythology has its basis in fact. If I remember my ancient legends, the gods, after expending energy, required rest, even as we humans.
And Apollo's gone, after attacking you and Mr. Scott. You think maybe he's off somewhere recharging his energy cells?
Something like that. Remember, he's keeping a force field on the ship, and he's expending energy down here. You said he looked pained and tired when he disappeared. If we can wear him out, overwork him, that might do it.
The trouble with overworking him is that it can get us killed.
If we can provoke him so that he strikes one of us again, there's a chance that he'll be drained enough so the rest of us can jump him.
I still say it can get us killed.
Not all of us, Bones. When he comes back, it's a chance we'll have to take.
On board the Enterprise, Uhura is doing some rewiring.
Progress report.
I'm connecting the bypass circuit now, sir. It should take another half hour.
Speed is essential, Lieutenant.
Mr. Spock, I haven't done anything like this in years. If it isn't done just right, I could blow the entire communication system. It's very delicate work, sir.
I can think of no one better equipped to handle it, Miss Uhura. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. Right away.
Spock goes to the helm.
Progress, Mr. Sulu.
Sectors 1 through 25, charted and examined. No chance at all of power originating in those areas.
Continue the search.
Aye, sir. 14B by 26 index.
Mr. Kyle.
Yes, sir.
We're unable to break completely loose from this force field, but we might be able to punch some holes through it.
What for, sir?
to shoot through. It might also relieve Lieutenant Uhura's communications problem. You'll take these equations to the nuclear electronics lab. I want them to work on the problem of negating the force field in selected areas. Now, it might be done by generating a strong pinpoint charge of M-rays on some of these selected wavelengths and tying them in with the combined output of all our engines.
Right away, sir.
Spock returns to the captain's chair. At the temple, Apollo rematerializes on his throne with Carolyn standing at his side. The Enterprise crew ignore him.
Come here. I know you're trying to escape me. It's useless. I know everything you do. I try to be compassionate toward your kind.
You know nothing about our kind. You know only our remote ancestors who tremble before your tricks. Your tricks don't frighten us, neither do you. We've come a long way in 5,000 years.
But you're still of the same nature. I could sweep you out of existence with a wave of my hand and bring you back again. I can give life or death. What else does mankind demand of its gods?
Mankind has no need for gods. We find the one quite adequate.
We shall not debate, mortal. I offer you eternal rest and happiness according to the ancient ways. I ask little in return, but what I ask for, I insist upon. Approach me.
They turn their backs.
I said approach me.
We're busy. Look after the girl.
You will gather laurel leaves, light the ancient fires, kill a deer, make your sacrifices to me. Apollo has spoken.
Go. Gather laurel leaves, you must be joking.
They approach the temple, laughing and jeering. Appalled, Carolyn runs down the steps towards them, pleading with each in turn.
Reap the rewards of your insolence.
We're tired of your phony fireworks.
Mortal, you have earned this.
No, don't.
Lieutenant.
Father doesn't destroy his children. You said you were gentle and understanding.
Lieutenant.
How can they worship you if you hurt them?
Lieutenant.
Apollo, please. You know so much of love.
She takes his threatening hand.
Please don't hurt them. Please.
She gazes up at him. His eyes soften fractionally, but his mouth sets in a grim line.
I shall be lenient with you. For her sake.
She mounts the steps to stand at his side. He looks down at Kirk scornfully.
You will make plans to bring the rest of your people down. Be sure your artisans bring tools. You will need homes.
And you will supply the herds of sheep, and the pipes we will play, and the simple skins we'll wear for clothes.
You will dismantle your ship for the supplies you need, and I'll crush its empty hull. I have been too patient. I shall be patient no longer.
They fade from sight. Kirk's eyes burn with frustration.
Captain, we've got to do something.
We were doing something until our brave lady stepped in and saved us.
Got any more good ideas, Jim?
Yes, I have. One more, and it depends on the lieutenant's loyalty. If she fails us, we better get used to herding goats.
In the grove.
Fools. I offer them more than they can know. Not just the world, but all that makes it up. Man thinks he's progressed. You're wrong. He's merely forgotten those things which gave life meaning. You'll all be provided for, cared for, happy. There is an order of things in this universe. Your species has denied it. I come to restore it.
He sits beside her.
And for you. Because you have the sensitivity to understand, I offer you more than your wildest dreams have ever imagined. You'll become the mother of a new race of gods. You'll inspire the universe. All men will revere you, almost as a god yourself. And I shall love you for time without end, worlds without end. You shall complete me, and I you.
She puts her arms on his bare shoulders, and they kiss.
Kirk to Enterprise, come in. Enterprise, come in. Kirk to Enterprise, come in.
Kirk. Carolyn.
Carolyn materializes with a calm smile on her face.
What's happened to her?
Scotty, I'll find out.
Perhaps if I assisted.
How old are you?
22, sir.
Then I'd better handle it.
Kirk goes over to the beautiful, blue-eyed, blonde lieutenant.
You all right?
Oh, yes, I'm all right. I have a message for you.
Kirk glances round.
Come over there.
Walking assuredly ahead of him, Carolyn leads Kirk towards a stone bench, away from McCoy, Scotty, and Chekhov. He gestures for her to sit.
Well?
He wants us to live in peace. He wants to provide for us. He'll give us everything we ever wanted. And he can do it, too.
All right, Lieutenant, you can come down from Mount Olympus now. You've got work to do.
I don't understand.
He thrives on love, worship, attention.
Yes?
We can't give him that worship. None of us can, especially you.
What?
Spurn him. Reject him. You must. You're special to him.
Yes. I love him.
Lieutenant. All our lives, here and on the ship, depend on you.
No, not on me.
On you, Lieutenant. Reject him and we have a chance to save ourselves. Accept him. And you condemn all of us to slavery, nothing less than slavery. We might never get help this far out. Or perhaps the thought of spending an eternity bending knee and tending sheep appeals to you.
Oh, but you don't understand. He's kind and he wants the best for us. And he's so lonely. What you ask would break his heart. How can I?
She looks earnestly into his eyes. He sits beside her.
Give me your hand. Your hand.
He grasps it.
Now feel that. Human flesh against human flesh.
She looks down hesitantly.
We're the same. We share the same history, the same heritage, the same lives. We're tied together beyond any untying. Man or woman, it makes no difference. We're human. We couldn't escape from each other even if we wanted to. That's how you do it, Lieutenant. By remembering who and what you are. A bit of flesh and blood. Afloat. In a universe without end. And the only thing that's truly yours is the rest of humanity. That's where our duty lies. Do you understand me?
Yes. Yes, I understand.
She looks up, as though hearing something.
He's calling me.
Lieutenant. You have your orders. And your duty.
Yes, sir. My orders and my duty.
She walks slowly away, the flimsy, draped train of her robe falling over her shoulder, leaving the skin of her back exposed. With a final glance back at Kirk, she steps into the grove of trees. On the bridge of the Enterprise, still in the grip of the enormous hand.
I think we can try it now, sir. Enterprise to Captain Kirk. Enterprise to Captain Kirk. Come in, Captain.
Kirk here.
Spock here, Captain.
We've pinpointed a power source on the planet's surface which seems to have something to do with the force field.
Is there a structure of some sort near you?
There is indeed, Mr. Spock.
The power emanates from there.
Very good. How are you doing on the force field?
We can negate sections of it, creating openings through which we can fire our phaser banks.
Well, that ought to do it. Have Mr. Sulu lock all phaser banks onto the structure. Fire on my order only, and cut it fine, we'll be standing nearby.
Captain.
I would recommend a discreet distance.
I'd love to oblige you, Mr. Spock, but we're not all together. Besides, we have Apollo to deal with.
If that structure is the source of his power, I want to know where he is when we attack it.
Kirk out.
Bones, Do you think that mysterious organ in Apollo's chest could have something to do with the transmission of energy?
Well, it doesn't serve any other purpose I know of.
Captain, we've got to wait until Carolyn comes back before we fire on the temple. We don't know what would happen to her if he was suddenly attacked. She might get killed.
Yes, I know. I know, Scotty. We'll wait.
In the Lakeside Grove, Apollo kisses Carolyn.
I must say, Apollo, the way you ape human behavior is remarkable. But there are some other things I must know. Your evolutionary patterns and your social development.
My what?
I'm sure they're unique. I've never encountered a specimen like you before.
I am Apollo. I've chosen you.
Well, I'm sure that's very flattering, but I must get on with my work now.
Your work?
I'm a scientist. My particular specialty is ancient civilizations, relics, and myths. Well, surely you know I've only been studying you.
I don't believe it. You love me.
Love you? Be logical. I'm not some simple shepherdess you can awe. Well, I could no more love you than I could love a new species of bacteria.
Carolyn, I forbid you to go. I order you to stay.
Is that the secret of your power over women? The thunderbolts you throw?
She starts purposefully back towards the temple. Apollo looks up to the sky and raises his arm. A wind rises.
The devil is that?
Right here.
Spock, Captain.
Sensors are picking up an atmospheric disturbance in your area.
Stand by your faces, Mr. Spock. Prepare to fire on my signal. Kirk out.
The Tempest plucks at Carolyn's flimsy dress. She falls to the ground, but struggles to her feet, battling against the raging storm.
Captain, we've got to go and find him!
We've got to be here when he comes back.
But what if he doesn't? What if...
Scotty, just hold on!
Carolyn looks back. Apollo, grown huge and menacing, floats towards her through the lightning and dark clouds. She falls again.
Captain!
All right. The temple is his power source. Let's bring him back to it. Get to cover. Mr. Spock, fire those phasers.
Captain, you're too close.
Fire those phasers. That's an order, Mr. Spock.
Kirk leaps over a nearby boulder, taking shelter with the others.
All phaser banks, fire!
Two red phaser beams shoot out from the bottom of the Enterprise's main saucer-shaped hull and strike the temple. Apollo comes running out of the grove.
No! Stop! Stop!
All phaser banks, maintain firing rate.
More power to the shields.
Thunderbolts from Apollo's fingers strike the Enterprise. Carolyn stumbles dazedly out of the grove.
Scotty!
Scotty runs over to her and leads her into the cover of one of the boulders. Apollo rages.
All banks maintain firing rate.
Maintaining, sir.
Apollo looks on in horror as his temple glows yellow and shimmers. He lowers his arm helplessly. The temple vanishes, leaving behind a few stone steps of the pediment and a pile of white marble rubble. Apollo gazes heartbroken on the ruins. Scotty helps Carolyn to her feet and leads her back to the others as the god steps into the remains of his once proud temple. Kirk, McCoy, and Chekhov get up from behind the sheltering boulders and take a few steps towards the ruins. Apollo wanders among the pile of rubble, gazing down disconsolately, blinking back tears. He looks over at Carolyn. She takes a few involuntary steps towards him, her eyes full of pity, then slumps down onto a stone bench. Apollo looks at the Enterprise crew.
I would have cherished you, cared for you.
He weeps.
I would have loved you as a father loves his children. Did I ask so much?
We've outgrown you. You asked for something we can no longer give.
Apollo looks at Carolyn.
Carolyn, I loved you. I would have made a goddess of you. I've shown you my open heart. See what you've done to me.
Carolyn lowers her brimming blue eyes sadly. Apollo gazes up into the sky, growing to twice his normal height.
Zeus! Hermes! Hera! Aphrodite! You were right! Athena! You were right. The time has passed. There is no room for gods. Forgive me, my old friends. Take me.
He spreads his arms.
Take me.
Apollo fades and vanishes from sight. Carolyn buries her head in Scotty's chest. Kirk and McCoy walk amidst the ruins.
I wish we hadn't had to do this.
So do I. They gave us so much. The Greek civilization, much of our culture and philosophy came from a worship of those beings. The way they began the Golden Age. Would it have hurt us, I wonder, just to have gathered a few laurel leaves?
Kirk gazes ahead pensively. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.